From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we're back for Locked On Chiefs. Thanks for joining us, and we are starting this week off on a brand new tilt. A lot of action going around the NFL this last week and weekend. A lot of movement. We should probably touch base tomorrow or the next day on John Dorsey just to check in with that. Obviously doesn't affect the Chiefs directly, but man, amazing how much movement he's got going all at once, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how much the league has, to be honest. I never expected them to become a trading league like they seem to have basically this past offseason.
It's very interesting. And I enjoy watching the rigmarole of the GM process. And folks, if you're new to us, I'm Ryan Tracy, founder of Rogue Analytics. You can find my written stuff at ChiefsDigest.com as well as LockedOnChiefs.com. Please check out RogueAPC.com. That's for all of our stuff that's coming for the draft. A lot of stuff coming up there.
And I am Chris Clark. I am the managing editor of LockedOnChiefs.com. And we are going to be talking today about the defensive line and any news that is going on with the Chiefs, which right now I don't really think there is any, other than maybe if we want to talk about Muhammad Wilkerson visiting Kansas City this weekend.
Yeah, and I think that's really probably the most interesting thing. He's made a couple of visits already, was in Kansas City over the weekend, and has moved on to the Washington Redskins. By my count, that's four teams he's visited since his release. And it seems as though he's just kind of getting the lay of the land.
Yeah, and I read, and I don't remember exactly where I heard this, but I did read that he was not really looking to sign a contract right now. So the fact that he left without a deal was not necessarily a bad sign. But, you know, you would think that if you're going to get one done, you're going to try to get it done as quickly as possible and try to get one done when he's here. But, you know, we'll see where he ends up. I still think that his best deal is going to be a one-year deal, and somebody's going to pay him something with a lot of openness to see how he can react to it, is I guess the way I would put that.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. You know, and he's an interesting guy. I think I retweeted Jeff Schwartz, who said, don't let him leave. You know, it's Jeff Schwartz thinks it's that important. I think it's an important position as we're about to go through what the Chiefs have on the roster today. But even beyond that, it's like you said, a one-year contract is probably the most likely scenario. I think that's probably the best thing. Because for a guy like Wilkerson, motivation is something that isn't guaranteed. And I think you need to have something built into the deal that provides that motivation. Because when he is putting out full effort and is motivated, he's a force to be reckoned with along the D-line.
Yeah, and you could even give him a two-year deal, kind of like you did with Darrell Revis. And if you're not including a signing bonus, it doesn't really hurt you the next year, so it's not as big of a deal. There's lots of ways that they can go about getting this done. It's just a matter of whether or not they want to. I would think that it's a move that they probably should try to make if they can. But I would say that it also would probably mean the end of Alan Bailey in Kansas City, which I guess it would be a trade-up if you can get a Wilkerson that's going to show up and be motivated every play.
Yeah, and that's true. It's interesting, after all the moves the Chiefs have made, and the purported release of Ron Parker being part of that, although we haven't seen anything official on that yet, you would think that as the chips fall, that would be something that maybe would affect Alan Bailey. A lot of rumors going on this weekend about Alan Bailey, and he's either renovating his house or packing to leave. No one can really seem to be able to be sure.
Oh, and see, I guess I had missed that. You know, the other side of it is, you know, you also have a question of what's going to happen with Tamba Hali, because at this point you would have thought that he would have been released, and that hasn't happened yet. And he hasn't announced retirement, I guess. And I did talk to Jason OTC. I did get an answer on this over the weekend that he is due $1 million as of 3/14. And if he's on the roster as a 3/14, they owe him that. And it is going to add to the number that he is responsible for, which is like 1.7 if he doesn't play in 2018. So
yeah, this is going to be a big week for this team. The purported thing with Ron Parker, I haven't seen anything yet. Obviously, the trades that have been agreed to, we're going to go through, and we're going to see those come to fruition. Maybe we have all the details. Maybe we don't quite have all the details of what those deals are going to include. if we have all the details of the Peters trade in particular, I'm a little disappointed because a lot of people have talked up how positive that is going to be as it comes out. And right now, I'm not so sold on it, but we'll see what the actual details come out with. But certainly, well, if they're going to release somebody like Tomba or Alan Bailey, it's going to be relatively quick, particularly in Holly's case, because of that payday on the 14th.
Well, and you say something about the Peters trade, but you look at what Aqib Talib was traded for. I mean, he was traded for almost nothing. So,
right.
You know, you can say what you want about Peters, and yes, he's great. Yes, he's young. They're going to have to pay him. And there's a whole bunch more into that decision making than just the player itself. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know how that's going to end up. We're going to have to just see as it goes. And honestly, I'm sure we got what we got and we'll be okay. Kansas City's going to have to make some moves to fill that position though.
Yeah. And you know, it's that position that's moving quite a bit in the AFC West with Peters moving out, Talib moving out, both to the Rams, outside of the division. Casey Hayward was re-signed this weekend to a multi-year deal at like
3 year, $36 million,
and something like 16 of it in year one. So a very front-loaded deal for Casey Hayward in Los Angeles, the other Los Angeles team, we'll call them. So this particular position is going to be interesting as we go along. We're going to talk about the corners later in the week. I don't want to get us too side railed with that discussion now, because what we want to talk about is the defensive line. So, you know, why don't we shift gears?
Sounds good to me.
So as we talk about the defensive line and this rumor about Muhammad Wilkerson taking these visits, maybe it's positive. Maybe it's, you know, maybe the Chiefs aren't one of the front runners. Who knows? Depending on the size of the contract, I think it's worth seeing, because when you run down who the Chiefs have under contract right now, the pickings are slim. Alan Bailey and Chris Jones are your top two. You still have McGill and Purcell and Augusta. Justin Hamilton's still on the roster. But what you're looking at, R&R still needs to be re-signed, which I think we'll know relatively quickly how the Chiefs prioritize him in their overall scheme as free agency kicks off, because I would think you want to see that happen rather quickly.
Well, and I would think that – I think all of the restricted free agents that need to get contracts have to do that before the league year starts as well. So I would expect we'll be hearing things in that regard as well soon.
Agreed. You know, Benny Logan's departing. We've all known that. He's an unrestricted free agent. I can't see him coming back. Jarvis Jenkins is another. Again, 29 years old, going to be 30 in the season. Hard to see them bringing him back even on you know, a contract. Well, I think he was here last year for $825K, I think it was. So that's a little bit disconcerting. But R&R is clearly the guy. If they're going to bring a player back that they've already had on the roster, R&R, Raheem Nunez-Rochus, if you're not used to us calling him that, I think he's got to be the priority. And I think getting him back on the roster, again, with a tender basically that's going to be exclusive enough to make sure that you get him, I think that's going to be also part and parcel to preparing to move on from Alan Bailey, if that's indeed what they are trying to do.
Well, on the other side of that is it's possible that they could look at moving on from Alan Bailey. It's also possible that they put a second-round tender on R&R, and he has to play under that this year. And Kansas City would get a second-round pick if somebody gives him a better deal, which I cannot see that happening. But
yeah,
we will see it over the next couple of months, I suppose. I would imagine they're going to put a second-round tender. You're not going to put an original round tender on, because I think you'll lose him at that point. So I think you put a second rounder on him, and you see what you can get if somebody is going to come and offer him a deal, which I really can't see. But hey, I would take a second round pick.
Sure, sure, and I agree with you. I think that's probably too steep for another team to pay. But the original round tender, definitely, I think you would lose him. So I think that we're going to see that early on, designating in free agency. So just hold tight on that, folks. There'll be an official announcement very soon as the league gets ready to kick off. And I think that's really the first linchpin. And then it comes down to looking at Alan Bailey. And if you're not going to be in the sweepstakes for Wilkerson, and you're not sure about the class, you know, especially the interior defensive line class is, I think it's deep, but I don't think there's a whole lot of high quality. I don't see a whole lot of interior defensive linemen. They're first rounders. And, you know, for the Chiefs, that's probably a good thing. But even in the second round at 54, even at the third round at 78, you're still looking at players that still need development. I don't see a whole lot in this class. They're going to walk in and be able to participate and give you quality reps and not be a liability for the defensive line in 2018. So that leads me back to bringing back veterans and maybe signing new ones in order to bolster this unit.
Yeah, and that's maybe the way they have to look. Although I will say that, you know, if they keep Alan Bailey and they keep R&R and they keep Chris Jones, I think they're going to be all right, at least the defensive end. The question really becomes, what are they going to do with nose tackle? And I think that's a position that they may be looking at drafting.
Yeah, that may very well be. And that's certainly – if they're – we may see changes in this defense this year. We don't know. We're talking about the base defense that they run on first down, particularly against the run.
Well, they may make changes, but they're not going to go to a 4-3. I don't think they have the personnel for it.
Well, for me, and I don't disagree with you, but for me, it's all about the percentages. And if that means I think this team played quite a bit in the nickel in a four-man front. I wanted to say it was like 58%, 60% of the time, if I remember correctly. I have to go check that. But that's a number that's in my head from Pro Football Focus. And if they're willing to take that even farther and really only use the base defense 25, 30% of the time, then I don't know that you're looking at a serious acquisition or at a serious level in the draft. Maybe one of those later round picks, sure, but I don't know that that's a hole that they feel like they need to fill. I think if they re-sign R&R, that may be all they do until the draft. I'd like to see them in on Wilkerson, but really what has to happen here – and go ahead.
No, I wasn't going to say anything. I was my opinion is that they're going to look at drafting a defensive lineman, and I'm not sure exactly where, but I've got an idea of where I would like them to look.
I'd love to hear those names.
Shepherd. Right, yeah. Pitt State.
The home state guy? Yep. Fort Hayes, actually.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Fort Hayes. My apologies. Yeah, yeah, the guy that broke his hand in the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Getting a lot of pub. A lot of pub. But plays at a level that is almost incomparable to anything when you look at, you know, a power conference. So for me, he's a lot more of a projection than for most. But you're right. He's physically got some talent. I think he'll be affordable. I think he'll be there in the fourth round or where they have multiple picks now. So that may be an answer. I don't really see him as a nose, though. So I think they're still talking about maybe doing something there. But three technique, five technique, I think he can pull off both.
Well, he's just one guy. I think there's going to be others. Obviously, we'll have to see where they can go. They obviously have a lot of cap. Well, they should have a lot of cap space. We're making the assumption that they're going to at this point because they're still got a couple more moves to make and they'll have $20 million, I think, at least. But the question
– Yeah, I think they're sitting at 15 now, right?
Yeah, but the question becomes, is that what they're – are they going to sit on it or are they going to use it this year?
I think they're going to have to use some. Otherwise, you're looking at falling off this defense in a way that probably isn't sustainable to make another playoff run. Huh? And I'm pretty sure – this team, this ownership is specifically focused on maintaining a level of perennial playoff appearances. So I would expect them to use what they need to use in relatively short-term contracts, I would guess. Another reason why I think Wilkerson's probably a great idea, if not the best fit. But I think there are options in the draft. I really hope the kid from Stanford falls down. Phillips, I think his name is. Really falling off since the Senior Bowl, where I think he played great, and everyone seems to be downgrading him because of his physical testing and everything. And I'm not convinced. I think he can play the game. I look forward to him being available at a place where it makes sense for the Chiefs to take him. I just don't know if that'll happen.
Well, we'll have to see when the time comes at this point. The question I have to you is, do they have anybody right now that you would feel comfortable with them stepping on the field and playing nose tackle? Because right now, to me, they don't.
And that's fair. I am intrigued by the concept of Alan Bailey moving over there because of his physical strength. He's got a good anchor, but not great, and he hasn't had to take on a whole lot of double teams yet. But I think if there's a guy on the roster right now that's physically capable of it in terms of his overall strength, I think it's Alan Bailey. And if they're desperate and feel that they have to limit themselves in free agency in the draft at the position group, I think that makes sense, at least giving it a look. But you're right. Outside of that, and that's a stretch all in itself. So there are definitely guys. I mean, you know, if Vita Vea was going to be there at 54, why not? Sure. But, I mean, he's a rare talent. Another of the West Coast nose tackles that play well, are athletic, have a lot of girth. You know, Danny Shelton was just traded this weekend, thanks to John Dorsey as well.
I would like
and another player in that role. Yeah, right? I would have too.
I would have liked him in Kansas City.
But they don't grow on trees. Yeah. You know, and people are going to say Hercules Mataafa, who is interesting, but yes, he played D-line in college. Yes, he got in the backfield quite a bit. He's physically athletic, but he's 6'2" and 250 pounds. He's an edge player that doesn't play on the edge is basically what he is. I don't see him going inside. I think I would take a long look at both of the North Carolina State guys, B.J. Hill as well as Justin Jones. I think one of them will be available at a place that makes sense for the Chiefs, either late in the third or in the fourth round. Another couple of names that I think are farther down the line but may make sense, Sanat out of South Florida. I like Trent Thompson. I know you're going to be shocked. He's out of Georgia again. stop it.
A Georgia kid. Imagine that.
Yeah, right? And it's like they play a 3-4 and everything. But there's going to be options there. I think if I'm Brett Veach, I have to think that the most important thing to me this offseason is that Chris Jones becomes a dominant every-down player like he can be.
Yeah.
He's had enough time.
No, he has. I think he's looked better. I think he looked better last year than people gave him credit for, just because he was probably double and triple teamed or at times, but he was disruptive, but they were running away from him. You know, I'm really curious, what are your thoughts on the Panthers defensive lineman that they're going to be having that's a free agent? And right now his name's escaping me. It's not Short, it's the other guy. Star Lotulelei.
Star Lotulelei, yeah. And you know, Star had a heart condition coming out of the draft. A lot of people weren't sure he was going to play at all. And he has rebounded to have an NFL career that is obviously lasted this long, and he's going to get signed somewhere.
There's another guy that had a heart condition this year. Hurst?
Maurice Hurst out of Michigan, yeah. It hasn't been disclosed the details of that. It may be a simple arrhythmia or something like that that won't preclude his career. But we're going to have to find out more information after some specialists take a look at him. And that will be forthcoming, I'm sure, in the pro day circuit. We will find more information before the draft. He may still be drafted. I don't think teams are going to knock him off the list completely until they know for certain what his condition is. And that's exactly what happened a little later. He got drafted, got on a roster, was able to put in a few years of solid work. The problem is he's an underperformer. And I don't know that I like him at the five, and I don't think he can play the nose. You know, maybe if the Chiefs ran and played their nose offset as a one technique more, maybe that could work. I think he works better into a gap than he does trying to set an anchor. I just don't know that he's a fit.
Well, the question I have is it possible they're looking at moving where they're going to play their nose? I mean, just because they've been playing zero tech or that position doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to continue with that moving forward. I don't know. It's going to be intriguing to watch and see how this shakes out.
Yeah, I agree. But I will tell you this. If they're not clearly making a run at somebody that is a nose tackle type, and they're not talking about moving Alan Bailey into that position, it is definitely going to send out some red flags for me that they are looking at playing a four-man front even more than they already do.
Yeah.
That we will have to see, though.
No, and that's certainly a possibility. Lots of questions going into this year and not knowing. I mean, you look at what they had in the draft last year and where they could have gone. It's just a question of whether or not they're going to go there this year. I'm not sure what they're going to be doing when it comes to the defensive line, because this is Brett Beach's really first foray into free agency and first foray into the draft that we've seen. He may have had a larger part than we know, but this will be at least his baby going forward.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one guy that I think he is probably going to like because of his versatility, and I know Sutton's going to like. A guy that I mocked earlier in the offseason that I think is going to be an option for the Chiefs if that's the way they decide to go. He's 6'3" and just under 300 pounds. Andrew Brown out of Virginia. He's played the five tech for the majority of his high school career. I'm sorry, his college career. But when he got to the Senior Bowl and was able to run as a three technique, he was disruptive. And that's really the key to playing that particular position in that technique is getting in the backfield, getting in the gaps, making an impact. And he can do that as well. It's another player that, like Chris Jones, can play both the five and the three. And that might be a nice bookend. So if they do decide that they're going to build that out, even though you call him a D-end, he's really more of a three tech, and you can call him a defensive tackle at that point. You know, it's all semantics, but that's a player to keep an eye on.
Yep. Lots of questions, though. Very few answers.
But right now, I think the Chiefs are really going to be paying special attention to R&R, like we talked about earlier, keeping some support for Chris Jones. And then really the question mark's going to come for Alan Bailey. So other than that, maybe they find some low-level other guys to sign in free agency to replace the Jarvis Jenkins types. And maybe they can upgrade that as well. At the end, really a rotation along the defensive line is what's going to be important for this particular team because right now they're very thin at the position.
I completely agree. Going to be very interesting moving forward and seeing how they attack free agency specifically this position because there are a lot of question marks and a lot of moves that could be made or could not be made.
Well, and folks, it's going to start heating up here pretty soon as free agency is ready to kick off in earnest. So keep it dialed in here. Keep checking back with us. We'll have all the information for you that's Chiefs related as it comes out. I'm going to have tons of draft stuff coming out as we talk more and more and get closer to the draft. We are finishing up the basic initial run through the analytics for Rogue Analytics for the release of the draft product. We're going to have a draft guide just like last year. Just a couple of bucks. It'll give you a rundown physically and productive-wise of all the players, the top 10 to 15 at their positions, and we haven't decided exactly how many we're going to put out, but we'll definitely have that information for you. We're going to do some more position reviews this week and talk about current news. Thanks for listening to us. We appreciate that. And make sure to keep rating and reviewing and subscribing and spread the word. It's going to be a great offseason. This team is just in as most flux as it's been since we started doing this podcast, so it's going to be really, really interesting.
And thank you for listening.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.